declared, he can just respond. We're telling them, they're not agreeing that they will do anything on the DMZ or the cities. We're just telling them if they do, we'll respond, and they know what they're getting into. Now, the danger of that is they may want me to start, stop, and then start again. And that worries me because I'd look like a boob before election to call it off one day and start it 2 days later. The experienced diplomats don't think so. They think the Soviets are in this thing and they're worried and they wouldn't let them do it and all that kind of stuff. But the net of it is, what you really get down to, we take our action and then they agree to sit down with the GVN. Now, our diplomats think that that puts the government in a hell of a good shape out there, that it says to all the NLF and the communists that they've finally come around doing something they said they'd never do, they really recognize them. And that it really strengthens that government when they do it. Now, if they wait a week, it may not be in existence. But that's my problem. So we're fighting on that one. Now, on the DMZ, he can respond, and on the cities he can respond, and our military people think, Wheeler thinks, that they can never do anything in that country unless they do hit the cities. So if they agree not to hit the cities, it's a great military concession. At least they don't agree to, but if they just don't do it, and if they know if they do it, that all bets are off, and we might even go back to where we were in Hanoi. Now, the big damn question is, this week, that's what worries me. Now, I honestly don't have anybody that has the feel of this thing like you have it, and like even I have it, as far removed as I am from getting out with the people. I know, I saw LeMay yesterday, said that there's going to be a Wheeler dealer trick, and I know that a lot of folks say, well, you had 5 years, why'd you do it 5 days beforehand? On the other hand, if I put it off, they'd say, well, I could have done it, and I wouldn't do it because I didn't want Humphrey. And I think I've just got to do what I think's right when I get it in shape where I think it's right. Now, I've been standing out here and holding back and making everybody get a board, and now they've got a board, really, on 7 days. I'm not going to take seven. I'm going back today and say, well, I've got going to take one. But I would go up to three. Now, when they say no to that, the question is, do I try to ride it out, having been offered seven and turned it down, or what? So, that's... Here's what I think I would do. I think that I would stick on not going above three or three and a half.
I don't see how you can go much more than that, Mr. Dutton. I really don't.
Now, I may have to.
If they have any good faith there, that's all they really need.
I may have to, but that's what I think. Now, the next thing I'd think, if I did that, I think then I'd have to go right back over the procedure I did the other day and get every one of those men to urge me to do it if they feel that way, just individually, every man that you sat at the table with the other day from across the river. Then I think I'd have to get a new strong wire from Abrams, and then I think I'd have to get, when I was ready to sign on and I'd really made the decision, first of all, I would like for it to be as late as it could. I don't want it to be, I don't want it to become an election issue. But, well, not if it's November the 2nd or 3rd. That's what I'm talking about. I'd like for it to be near the 4th than today. Because it takes, you see, you have to take some time, you have to give your troops orders, and you have to do things like that. Then I thought about meeting Abrams and really looking him in the eye and saying, now, are you damn sure that if I agree for you to stop, the weather's so bad that it's just terrible. Chuck said they've had 30 inches of rain in just the last few weeks in Da Nang, and just they can't even, nothing they got, it's just wet as hell, and the airport's 4 inches underwater, and And they say they haven't got anybody, the enemy's got nobody north of Da Nang. They've moved them all out. They're getting ready for this DMZ. They're getting them all in the other side of it, or in Laos or in Kemp. Yeah. So they apparently getting ready to respect it. But then I thought I might even see Abrams and just say to him, now you got to be the man I rely on, and I've got to have military advice, and you goddamn sure if I stop this, that you've got enough advantages from doing it that justifies it. Now if you haven't, I'm not going to. I don't believe anybody can answer these folks on the merits of the decision except the military.
Got to be a part of it. Nobody else can do it without them.
The other day, they were enthusiastic, and he seems to be more enthusiastic every time you talk to him. Let me read you. I can here. I want to read you. I've got it. His latest this morning. I sent him a cable. This is from the two of them, Bunker and Abram. If we have Chu aboard and allow time for him to inform his leaders in advance, we see no serious difficulties here in respect of your questions, i.e., political viability of the GAVN, comma, effect on the military situation, or adverse effect on the morale of either our forces or those of Arvin. We see no serious difficulties. Two, Chu has not been concerned with the cessation itself, but rather with the reaction to NLF participation. If the nature of that participation is clearly understood and properly handled publicly, he is not concerned. I hope to reach agreement on this at this afternoon's meeting. Three, assuming no further delay here in respect to the issues, when I have authority to notify him of the timetable, which we would take up with Hanoi, and to obtain his concurrence, I would work out with him the times when others here would be notified. Abrams says they will need 12 hours, but that the information can be restricted to the chief of JGS and General Lamb, the I Corps commander, and General Tong, the commander of the 1st Division, which is NI. Assuming a timetable in your telegram, this would mean that Chu would set a meeting next date to include the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister, the Speakers of the Legislature, and the Chairman of the Joint Chief. I feel that Key should be notified somewhat earlier, and I will tell Chu that he could do this if he wished. I would remark that the Prime Minister and the Speakers of the Legislature were strongly pressed to reveal what President Chu had told them at the October 16 meeting, and all three refused. The Legislature complained that they were debating this whole issue without any knowledge of the facts, but I therefore think we need not be too concerned about leaks at the top. We will discuss with Chu how and when Ambassador Lamb would be notified in advance. Now, that's the Parish man. Now, that is their last meeting. So what it narrows down to that I'm consulting with you about, I'm just trying to get a feel that I'm on steady ground and it's not jumping at the 7 days. I don't want to look bad in history and say I was offered something and I just was hard-headed and obstinate, but...
I don't know how in the hell they'd ever prove he was ever really offered that.
Oh, Harriman would just leak it all over the lot. He's already practically doing it, and... You see, those George Ball and Harriman, them working so close together. Harriman has really feels that he has an obligation to party as well as to country. And I don't feel that way on this matter at all. I just don't want people to say that this man kept on a war when he could have settled it in 7 days. Now, my judgment is that we may not get anything out of them when we start talking except more Paris. And I rather think they're doing this, the Soviet and and the doing it to affect the election. That's what I'm afraid of.
Well, nobody, they'd be smarter than I am, they can predict exactly what effect it's going to have on the election.
Well, I thought then I'd get the leaders when I got ready to sign on and just get them to come in, and then I thought I'd just get the three principal candidates and just get them in and say, now, gentlemen, I want Secretary Rush to tell you why he recommends this political standpoint. I want General Wheeler and Clifford to tell you why they recommend it from a military standpoint. I want to have Bunker and Abrams wire read to you. Now, I can turn this down, walk away. I don't think the American people want to do it. And then just kind of say, in kind of the language you used the other day, I'm going to take a try at it. But Abrams has his orders that they can trigger a response if they move on either of these fronts, either the city or the DMZ. Now, they have not agreed, repeat, not agreed not to move. But they know if they do move, we'll respond. And that may make us look foolish, but I think that's a gamble that's worth taking. And just say that to Wallace and Nixon and Humphrey Wright in their presence. I can't believe that they could do a damn thing. When I told them that over the phone the other day, Wallace was just as meek as he could be. He said, Mr. President, said, I'm going to support the Commander-in-Chief, whatever you decide to do. Nixon said, Mr. President, you know I've said we'll speak with one voice. Humphrey just said, thank you. But both of them supported my statement the other day when I told them over a long-distance telephone that this was the thing we were working on. And I don't know, they'd bring 100 newspaper men in each plane, it'd be a big extravaganza. On the other hand, I'm afraid not to give them all the details so they'd really know that I justify it.
The only thing you'd say me and tell about, Mr. President, is the fact that we don't know definitely that we've got in quid pro quo at all.
We do with the GVN.
Is that?
We do, they tell us, on the government of Vietnam. Another thing I would propose, I didn't mention, I would propose to call in Debrinian and say, now, our relations are very serious between us and the Soviet Union. You recommended this, and I want you to go back to your government, be damn sure that they recommend it, and I want you to know that if any of these three things don't work out, then I'm doing them because of my respect for your responsibility. And if they break loose, why, you better hold your hat, because I'm not going to be bound at all. So that they'd have plenty of time to tell Hanoi that they were, in effect, bound by three things.
Well, if they do that, of course, I think that'd be tremendously helpful. I think they thought it might be good.
I think that's right.
Well,
what do you think wrong with the scenario after we get ready to sign on, if we ever get an agreement?
Well, if you get the agreement, I think it's good. You've got everybody tied up then. Everybody's the same boat.
Well, I mean,
if everything blows up, everybody no fella can sit back and say, well, I'd be damn tight about that.
Would you have the candidates in?
I just don't know about that.
There'll be 6 hours probably different. Some of them will be in California and some will be in New England. And of course, when you tell... That's right. That's right. But that's when I am. But when, for instance, if I... If
it's very firm, I think it would. Because that's just legally moving completely, isn't it?
Would you have the leaders with them or would you have two separate groups? I believe two separate groups, because I think that you might have a Rivers that might hit you, or you might have Fulbright that might hit you, say it could have been done all along. You might have a debate. I
guess you're right. I don't. However, I must say I'm not very apprehensive about that. I think you have the Joint Chiefs all that, and they all say they signed up, and Rush said he signed up. Harriman and
From the standpoint...
No, hell no. Rupert won't think about it. Not at Westmoreland.
He's very strong, as you know.
Well, if Westmoreland agrees, you put that Rupert to sleep.
Yep.